Good morning. We welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning we're going to be talking about a statement that is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 33, where David says of Abner, "Should he die the death of a fool?" You may remember the story there if you want to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3, that Abner, who was related to Saul's captain, he was the son of Ner, captain of Saul. He had been aligned with Saul before Saul died. And now after he died, Saul died, Joab thinks that Abner is going to revolt against David and do him harm. And so Joab kills Abner. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 31, "And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, 'Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner.' And King David followed the bear, and they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented for Abner and said, 'Should Abner die as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters. As a man falleth before the children of iniquity, so didst thou fall.' And all the people wept again over him." That statement, "Should Abner die as a fool dieth," applies to a person who dies without honor. And David did not want Abner to go to the grave in an inhonorable way. I want to talk about that statement this morning, friends. Dying as a fool dieth. Will you die as a fool dies? Will I? We're going to talk about death and the proper way to die. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment." We all are going to face our appointment with death if Jesus doesn't come before that time. We can't live forever. We're going to die. The question is, how are we going to die? In what relationship with God are we going to die? Are we going to die as a fool dieth? Or are we going to die the death of the righteous? I think about Balaam, who said, "Let me die the death of the righteous and let my lot be like his." Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10. Are we going to die in a righteous relationship with God? Or are we going to die as a fool dies? That's our study this morning. We hope that you'll get your Bibles out. We hope that you'll study along. And we hope that you'll think about your relationship with God and make sure that you're right with Him before you die. And if we can help you study and get you into a right relationship with God through His Word, we want to do that. Please contact us. You know, man is a rational being. We're made in the image of God, Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. Being made in the image of God, we are the only rational beings of all creation. Trees and rocks and plants and animals and planets, these things are not rational, thinking, conscious, and with a conscience, conscious beings. We are the only rational being made in the image of God. And because of that, we are responsible before God to act reasonably and rationally. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that we are to offer up sacrifice to God. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. And then he says, "Be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," in verse 2. And then back in verse 1, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual service." We have a spirit within us that can offer up a spiritual service. The word there literally means reasonable, according to the mind, according to the reason, according to the rationality of man. To act rationally is to act according to God's truth, to act according to reality, to act with man's well-being in mind, according to, as our mind matches God's word, we act reasonably and rationally. The opposite of that would be a fool. God wants us to live wisely and act reasonably and rationally with our mind. But the opposite of that would be acting foolishly. When we act without reason, when we act without rationality, when we live our life and it does not match up with the truth of God's word, we're just simply living a foolish life. And if we were to die in that state, we would be dying the death of a fool. The death of a fool is the death without honor. But there's other ways to die the death of a fool. Sometimes a person will go their life and they will not make any attempt to understand God's word or care anything about that. And when they die without understanding. That's a foolish way to die. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21, we read there that it's possible to die without understanding. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the foolish die for lack of understanding. The foolish die for lack of understanding. They don't follow God's word. They're not careful in their lives, and often they bring their lives to an end because they're not understanding the words and the ways of God. They can, but they just choose not to. Another way to die the death of a fool would be to die before it's time to die. It's a shame that many people end their lives. They're acting foolishly. And a lot of times this happens with regard to someone taking drugs. And we spoke about that in our last program. Maybe somebody driving too fast. They're acting foolishly, drinking, on drugs, picking up a gun, killing someone else or killing themselves. They're not thinking properly according to God's word. And so they die before it's time. They don't live a long and prosperous life like righteous people do. They cut their lives short. I think about Solomon's statement in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should you die before your time? Why should you die before your time? By acting foolishly in the ways of man. So there are times in Scripture where we read about a fool dying, and it might be without honor, it might be without understanding, it might be before his time has come and he's lived a long life. He's just simply acting foolishly. In the Old Testament, the fool comes from the Hebrew word nabal, meaning one who is senseless, really, literally stupid. Especially of the man who has no perception of ethical and religious morality and does not bring his life into conformity to the ethical and moral standards of God's word. He's literally senseless, not using the mind. In the New Testament, the word, the Greek word is aphron, meaning one who is literally without the mind. He's not using his mind. He's not thinking. I remember growing up as a child, my father would say from time to time, son, why are you not using your mind? Why are you not thinking? Why did you do that without thinking? And so God gives us a mind, and he wants us to use that to understand his word and follow our lives in that word. But many times we just get up each day and we do what we want, and we're acting without good reason. We're acting without thinking. We're really senseless. And when we do that, it is foolish. You know, I think a lot of times when people think about different sins that a person could commit and they think about a terrible sinner, they might think about someone who has committed murder. They might think about someone who has committed adultery or something like that. And these are certainly sinful things. But do you know that just simply acting foolishly each day is just as much a sin as these other things? A lot of people don't realize that. Consider what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. From within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed. Fornications, thefts, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, and then listen to the very last thing he mentions, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. What is included in a list of evil things with murder and adultery and pride and theft? What is included in that? Foolishness. Acting without good sense, good reason, good rationality, acting the way man would act and not acting the way God wants. And Jesus said it comes from within, in the heart, and he says, these are evil things and they will defile the man. Yes, it is sinful just simply to act foolishly. So friends, this morning we want to talk about dying the death of a fool. we want to talk about the ways that a person can die, and it really is foolish to do that. First of all, I want to talk about dying while renouncing God. Do you remember the story of Job and his righteous living? And the Lord allowed him to be tempted and tried by the devil and allowed him to suffer at the hands of Satan. And we find that even when he was going through these terrible things, he would not renounce God and he would not sin with his lips. And do you remember in Job chapter 1, when different things are taken away from him, his family and his different kinds of possessions? We find in Job chapter 10, in verse 1, the devil says, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But now put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will renounce thee to thy face." And when things were taken away from Job, he did not renounce God. And you remember when even he was struck with boils and he's suffering that way, that his wife comes to him. And we find in verse 9 of chapter 2, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still hold fast thine integrity? Renounce God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." He was not going to renounce God and then die. That would be a very foolish death. To curse God, to renounce God, to say, "God, I don't serve you anymore," and then immediately die upon that statement. Why would somebody want to do that? That would be very foolish. I can think of another way in which someone could die foolishly, and it actually happens all the time. There are thousands and thousands of people who die every day, and many of them are just dying the fool's death. I attended a funeral just last week. Funerals are very common. Funerals are all around us. We're reminded of that. We might get caught in traffic behind a funeral procession. Death, we're reminded of that when we read the obituaries. People die all the time, and some people are dying just the fool's death. Another way to die the fool's death would be to die as an unbeliever. We go to our grave not believing that God is. With all the evidence around us of the existence of God, we just refuse that. And there are many people today that just refuse to believe in God. Richard Dawkins and many other kinds of atheists and scientists and well-known atheists. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." And in chapter 19 of Psalms, in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." We have evidence all around us that there is a God, and yet people won't look at that. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 that God created the heavens and the earth and physical things, and he gives us evidence to see him in creation. But many people just refuse to look at it. Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse, because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." They just did not accept the existence of God and worshiped idols. And so, the evidence is all around us that there is a God, but many people go to their death being an unbeliever. Some people die uncaring about their sin. They don't care about sin. They don't care about their sinful way of life. And they go all the way to their grave, unconcerned and uncaring about that. What a foolish way to die. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9, "A trespass offering mocketh fools, but among the upright there is good will." Some translate that, "Fools make a mock at sin." They mock at sin or the trespass offering. They're not concerned about that. They don't want to make any change. They engage in sin and they are having a good time doing it. And then they go all the way to their death. living in sin, and they're going to have to stand in judgment day having been unforgiven of that sin. What a foolish way to go. Do you know that some people die after repeating the same old folly, after repeating the same old mistakes, the same old sins? They learn from it, they try to do better, and then they go right back to doing the same old thing. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, Proverbs 26 and verse 11, as a dog that returneth to his vomit, so is a fool that repeateth his folly. We have a similar statement in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22 about a Christian who falls back into sin and is like a dog returning to his vomit. There are some people who teach that you, once you're saved, you're always saved. But the New Testament does not teach that. A person who is saved can become lost and eternally lost, and they can return back to that former way of life. And it's like a sow returning to wallowing in the mire after being washed, and like a dog returning to his own vomit. That is a very gross and disgusting thing, but that is the image that is used in Proverbs 26:11 and 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 to talk about a person who just goes back and repeats the same old folly. And so we know that something that we say and do and think is going to cause a problem. It's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt others around us. We learn from it. We stop it for a little while, and then we go right back to doing the same old thing. And then when we die in that state, what a shame. We had a chance to change. We had a chance to stop it, but we're just repeating the same old thing. And then we face God in judgment that way. What a way to die. Dying as a fool dies and just repeating the same old folly. Even after being taught how to change, even after being helped to get out of that situation and live right, we just go right back to doing the same old thing. People are placed in jail here in Springfield, and when they're let out, they go right back to doing the drugs and doing the other sinful things that they've been doing. They get put in jail, and then when they get out, they go right back to doing it. And then they get put in jail, and they get let out and go back to doing it. They just never learn their lesson. They can, but they choose not to. And then they die in that state. What a foolish way to go. You know, some people die while trusting in themselves. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, the proverb writer says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." And there are people who just go to their grave doing what they think and what they feel and following their ideas and their plans. They won't turn to God's word and follow it. And so they die as a fool dies, trusting in his own heart. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah says, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." We have to let God direct our steps. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and following, we are to trust in the Lord and not lean upon our own understanding. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from him." So we've got to trust God, read his word, and not lean upon our own understanding. And so many people, when you talk with them about trying to help their lives in some way, they got it all figured out. "I think and I feel," and they won't let God help them in his word. And so they go to their death just trusting in themselves. We're talking about dying as a fool dies, and these are certainly ways that people die, and they go throughout their life. Let's look at some other ways that people die foolishly. Some people die while neglecting the important spiritual things on the inside. Outwardly, they appear to be doing fine and living fine, but they've not taken care of the spiritual side of their life inside, and they will go to their death that way. Jesus in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 38, talks about this with regard to the Pharisees. He said, "You cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but the inward part is full of extortion and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he that made the outside make the inside also?" And so they wouldn't take care of the wickedness on the inside. They looked real religious and pure and right on the outside. God looks at the heart, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. God examines us on the inside. He sees even our inward heart and soul and spirit. Hebrews 4:13, we're like an open book laid naked and open before Him. And He can see on our inside. But so many people will not take care of that part of their life. They're taking care of their bills and their car and their home and their clothes and their outward appearance and things like that. But they won't take care of the soul that's on the inside. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. All of those things that help us to take care of those inward things in our soul and in our spirit. And so they go through life and they'll die while neglecting the inside. Oh, they look real nice on the outside. Maybe they wear nice clothes. Maybe they've taken care of their physical appearance, but they have not taken care of their spiritual appearance and they've neglected the inside. Don't do that, friend. You know, other people will die unprepared. They're just not prepared to meet the Lord in judgment. And like we've just said, they're taking care of other kinds of physical things, but they're not taking care of their soul. They're not ready. I think about the 10 virgins. The 5 wise virgins were prepared when the Lord came, and the 5 foolish virgins were unprepared. And so Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that the master of the house, the Lord of the house, will come at a time when you know not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour." And the 5 foolish virgins were not prepared to go into the marriage feast. And that is a parable comparing that to the end of time when people just are not prepared to face the Lord in the judgment day. We have to watch and be ready. But many people will spend their time taking care of all kinds of secondary things, and they won't prepare their soul for eternity. Do you know that other people die not accepting the truth and the fact of a coming resurrection day? There are people who are just living it up. They're having a good time. They're partying. They're carrying on. They're having a great time. And their attitude is, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die and we're not going to be raised. When we go to the grave, that's it. And Paul had to address this problem in 1 Corinthians 15. He talked about those who refuse to believe in the resurrection. Even though the resurrection is true and Jesus was resurrected, showing that all can be resurrected. And there were those in Corinth who were deceiving people and spreading the lie that you're not going to be resurrected. And even some Christians began to believe in that. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 32, "If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." And that really is the party spirit of a lot of people. And then he says, "Be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals. Awake to soberness righteously and sin not, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to move you to shame." Awake to soberness. We need to be thinking wisely and clearly. There is a resurrection, and Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that, and we're going to be raised in the last day. We don't need to have this attitude of have a party spirit, eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, and once we're dead, that's it. There is a resurrection day, and we're going to have to be raised to give an account of those deeds that are done in the body. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of those deeds that are done in the body." Many people die, and they die a fool's death. Some die going to their grave boasting. They've got their pride and their boasting. I think about King Herod in Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 23, when the people were chanting, "The voice of a god." He would not give glory to God. He took that to himself, and he was immediately stricken with worms, and he died. He died a proud person, an arrogant person, a boaster, and there are people who die that way, and that's just foolish. And other people will die in ignorance. They can learn God's word. They can know God's word, but they choose to be ignorant of that. They've got their life busy doing other kinds of things, and they don't want to understand what the Word of God is. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul talks about putting to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The ignorance of foolish men. They just choose not to come to the truth of God's word. Friend, how are you going to die? How am I going to die? Remember, it is appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. How are you going to die? Are you going to die the death of the righteous, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10? Or are you going to die the death of a fool, 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 33? You know, Satan, the devil, wants you to die like a fool. And the only way we can keep him from getting us to die that way is to use our mind, to think, to wake up, to use our head, and to know God's word and God's will. And if we can help you to learn that, to read that and study that, we want to do that. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise or foolish, but as wise, redeeming, literally buying up the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Notice that we need to be wise, and that is going to be by following the will of the Lord. That's the revealed will of the Lord in the New Testament scriptures. We can be wise. And notice in the second place that we can understand what the will of the Lord is. People say, well, I can't understand the Bible. I don't know the Bible. No, we can understand it. We can understand it, number one. By understanding it, we become wise, number two. And number three, we have to do that now while we can. We've got to buy up the opportunity. One day we're going to run out of time. And so we have to be using our time now to be understanding the will of the Lord and to be learning it and applying it in our lives. Friends, will you look carefully how you walk? Some people don't. They've just got their mind on their personal lives each day, and they just trod forward and dredge forward and move forward without thinking, without looking carefully, without following God's word. And then they wake up one day on their deathbed, and they die the death of a fool. What a waste. What a shame. They had their life that they could have spent in God's service, but they chose just simply to throw it away. One day the Lord's going to come again, and he's going to come for his own. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that when he comes again, he's going to be coming for those who fall asleep in Jesus. That means to die as a faithful Christian. Those that fall asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Will you fall asleep in Jesus? Will you die the death of a righteous man, or will you die the death of a fool? If we can study with you, if we can talk with you about these matters that are very important, let us get together. Contact us. Listen to the information at the close of the lesson. Contact us so that we can sit down and study God's word together, so that when we do pass from this life, we can be in a right relationship with God. Friend, don't die the death of a fool. Have a good day, and thank you for listening.